T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hey, I mean, that is a very convenient, you know, reason or excuse. And you might be right. I'm not saying you're wrong. You might be right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he was cleared by doctors to go out there and played, and went out there and played and missed multiple throws that would have won the game. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if it was his shoulder. I don't know if it was his foot.
The Lisfranc injury that he was out for.
Well, I mean, he moved around. He was moving around well. I don't know how you move around well and play the quarterback position the entire game, but yet it affects your throwing a speed cut out route to the slot receiver to your left. I don't know. He had the shoulder problem as well. He had worked on his mechanics as well. So I don't know why. I just can't get that performance out of my head. And unfortunately, that's the last thing that I witnessed in terms of actual game film from Cam Newton.
Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Hughley. And let me try this, because what I've been hearing, and you're not alone, I've heard, you'll hate this, but your boy Colin Cowherd agreed exactly with what you're saying.
Well, he's got a little sense finally.
that the Patriots run a certain style of offense, this precision pass and timing, the way that they've won for 19 years with Tom Brady. But Clint, Bill Belichick's the best coach of all time, right? I at least a top three coach of all time. Best coach of this generation. You would agree?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No question.
Yeah, Bill Belichick's – all right. You can't be the best coach of all time and not be able to adjust with your talent. And I'm sorry. Bill Belichick, if you're the best coach of all time, you had Tom Brady for 19 years. I believe that he and his staff – would look at Cam Newton and say, we're going to adjust our offense to the talent that we have. Because that's what great coaches do. All right? Like in any sport. All right? You got Cam Newton and you got Tom Brady. Both of them have been MVPs in the league. All right? Yes, Tom is so much better of a player overall as him. But you could look and say the greatest coach of all time, potentially, could find a way to change their offense to fit their player. And don't look any further than him, Josh McDaniels, who is it McDaniels or McDaniel?
Because I keep it's just an L.
Is it just an L?
I think.
Right, I'm going to put an S on it.
I know who the hell you're better. Talking about. It don't matter.
That S feels better. Josh McDaniels, let's not forget, he's the one that had Tim Tebow in Denver when Tim Tebow had blessings from God weekly, and they would come back and win games, and they beat Pittsburgh in a playoff game. And he redesigned. He came from Tom Brady and then went to Tim Tebow, and they won games and got him to a playoff.
I know it's convenient to lean on that Denver Broncos team, but if any other conversation now, the quarterback is the reason they didn't win at all. Tim Tebow wasn't worth a damn.
No, he wasn't.
Okay,
I'm saying that Josh McDaniels, we still know Tim wasn't worth a damn, but we still know that quarterbacks is you still got to be able to, if your quarterback just craps altogether and you can't find a way to use him, then you're not going to win. Tim Tebow had moments, and he put together the best offense that would have Tebow flourish, right? And I watched him win a game in Kansas City, and Tim Tebow completed 2 passes for 4 quarters, Clint, and they won on the road. So I mean, it's amazing to think that the best coach of all time can adjust his offense, and he has a guy who had to adjust from Tom Brady to Tim as Chris Sims would say, Tim frickin' Tebow. All right, and I believe he can make that work.
Yeah, I mean, there's some ifs there. I agree with you, Joe. I've said from the jump, I think Cam Newton, if he can stay healthy, a big part of why I think he's done is because I don't think he's going to go somewhere and an organization is going to completely change what they do. And that's no slight to Cam Newton. It's the fact of the matter is that you don't put a square peg in a round hole. If Cam Newton needs a certain scheme to flourish and give himself to be the best version of Cam Newton, and that team is willing to do it, then I would be willing to probably change my opinion a little bit of what I think the future holds for Cam Newton. But in order to do that, people just think that you just flip a coin and go, well, Cam's going to be our quarterback. No, man, that ain't how this thing works.
No, you got to change it up.
You are going to be what you practice. I mean, so you and whoever the starter is going to take 90 to 95, maybe even 100 in this situation, maybe even 100% of the snaps. And so when you really break down what we're talking about, show is like Bill Belichick, I think that if Bill Belichick were interested in changing their entire offense and Josh McDaniels was interested in changing his entire offense and scheme, it's not about whether the coordinator has the ability to do it or not. It's what are you going to do on a daily basis? And when you sign Cam Newton, you're telling me that you automatically make that decision where you're just going all chips in the middle of the table on Cam Newton. I just don't think they're doing that. And so I think that, in my opinion, I don't think they're doing that. If they were, they'd have been a lot more aggressive than going to give him a minimum deal with a bunch of incentives on it. And I believe if they were going that route, it would be a no-brainer to change the system. I think it's going to be the same old system. You battle it out. And I think we've seen what that system looks like with Brady, with 18 different quarterbacks that can't run.
That just sounds dumb.
I agree
that
with
sounds
you.
Dumb to
I
bring
agree.
Him.
I agree. It's to me.
And I don't think they're dumb.
I hope you're right because it'd be a lot of fun to watch them damn Patriots be relevant again with a different style. I hope you're right, Show. But I'm just telling you, I don't believe that's what's going on. I think Cam Newton would have gas left in the tank, tread left on the tires, if he went to the right spot that would build around him the same way that Baltimore's built around Lamar Jackson. And several teams are building around their quarterbacks and their athletic abilities. And look, that's where he needs to be. If you believe right now, everybody out there listening, if you believe that Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniel are going to completely change the way that they coach offensive football on a daily basis, if you believe that right now, then there's a chance that Cam's got some gas left in the tank.
I just think it's the way you have to. I mean, you can't bring in – like, listen, I know people are going to just love this one, Clint. But, you know, this isn't Bill O'Brien we're talking about. You're right. Bill would bring in Cam and run the offense. I just think higher of Bill Belichick. You cannot be the best coach of all time and not be able to adjust to your players.
That's a great point you make. I mean, it's the struggle that goes on here with Deshaun. We hear a lot about we're going to do exactly what the defense gives us the opportunity to do instead of you forcing yourself on a defense. That's not Cam Newton's strength. I mean, Cam Newton's strength is taking that thing and shoving it down your throat 90 times, and when you get tired of it, he throws one over your head for a touchdown.
Throwing over your head.
I mean,
yep,
that's what he does.
Tight end. Yep.
I mean, look, if anybody can get away with that, it's New England, because last year they had damn near had a historic defense for about 12 of the 16 games out of the season. So if they can pull that off again, then maybe they'll be all right.
All right, this is I think something awesome for Texans fans, Clint. There is something Deshaun Watson is doing that is screaming. He is ready to take things to the next level. We'll get into that coming up next. Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Hughley in with you. Clint Sterner and the show. And Clint, I've been suckered again by the text line. 713-572-4610. You can text in and be a part of the show the whole way. This is just, come on. What the hell are you two talking about? Either of you watch a thing called the NFL the last 3 years? Cam is a statue from our guy Nobu. And listen.
Hey, wait a minute, Cam. No, he's a Florida guy. Fixate played at Blinn. He's got some Texas ties, Nobu. What are you talking about, man?
He's not no damn statue. Philip Rivers is a statue. Tom is a statue. Cam Newton is not a statue. Cam Newton can still – why? Why did I do that? Why did I do that, man?
Oh,
right, I just want to make sure I'm not alone. Cam Newton, there's a lot of things. Cam Newton, seriously, if you gave him 10 shots, guys standing 15 yards away from him, just a smidge of pressure, is he going to hit that guy every time? Maybe 5 out of 10. Maybe 6 out of 10. All right, he's got some flaws.
You just don't know when it's going. If it's on 1st and 10, you'll be all right. But if it's on 3rd and 6, Belichick's going to have a heart attack.
He's got some flaws. Odds are his – His feet are going to – his technique's not going to be good. Going to be some problems. Yeah, but not mobile? That's not one of them.
Yes.
That is not one of them. Even with the Liz Frank injury, he was running better than Phil. So, I mean, let's just calm down about that. All right. But, no, Clint, we stumbled upon this. Deshaun Watson, you have been preaching this about, you know, man, it's not so much physical with Deshaun. It is the mental aspect of the game and how he is going to grow to the next step. You've talked about mental things he should be doing in the offseason to get him here. And we saw this article, and he is using chess and using a chess coach to potentially get and improve the mental side of the game for him.
Yeah, I mean, it was the coolest thing ever, man. So it was an article in The Athletic that went into – I think it was The Athletic that went into Deshaun Watson and the fact that there's a lot of quarterbacks out there right now using chess. And I'd heard this, right? I mean, I'd heard.
So you never used it?
I never used it. No, it wasn't around back in the day when I was young. I'm not a kid anymore. But back then, you know, it wasn't as prevalent. I'm sure somebody out there was using it. But apparently it's new over the last few years. And this guy's named Seth Mikowski. And he's a professional chess player, but he's a coach, and he's taken the approach to chess, and for whatever reason in his mind, Joe, chess was always for him, it was about the strategy and the tactics. It was about applying those strategies and tactics that really drew him to the game. It wasn't necessarily the competitive aspect of it or the game itself. He didn't grow up playing. It was the strategic aspect of it, and he was listening to a football game one time, and one of the announcers, I believe it was Chris Collinsworth, kept using terms when he was talking about quarterback play. He kept using terms that this chess coach could relate to the game of chess. And so he had an idea like, man, I wonder if this chess game could help quarterbacks. And so he started doing his research and got in touch with some quarterbacks and started helping guys. Well, he eventually made his way to the Houston Texans quarterback, Deshaun Watson. And I'm reading through this article, and show if you'd have took the game of chess and removed it from the article and just read the article with no pictures, with no really subject that you had on your mind.
You think he's talking about football?
Not only football, you could have plugged in Deshaun Watson. You just plug in Deshaun Watson everywhere where it said chess and why he thinks it helps quarterbacks, and you could plug Deshaun Watson in. I mean, here's a few of them, right? Quick thinking. You got to make – and I didn't know this. I'm not a chess guy, so I didn't know these things, right? Quick thinking. You got to make clear, quick, confident decisions – knowing that there's consequences on the other end of it. You don't just go in there and make a quick decision, go, what the hell? I got enough money. I can fix it if it's wrong. You know that when you make that decision to move that pawn or move one of your chess pieces, that there's ultimate fatal consequences on the other end of it sometimes, and you still got to train yourself to make those clear, quick, confident decisions. And that's the same thing with quarterback. You got to make clear, quick, confident decisions knowing that, hey, man, it might be wrong and you might throw a pick six. You know, you got to be able to make those quick decisions knowing that the consequence on the other end sometimes is detrimental. And sometimes it's just you can't – it'll lose the game. Another thing, disguise how you – I love this one for Deshaun Watson. Disguise how you operate. Calculated risks and shots. So the chess coach is saying if you play chess with the same guy all the time, you eventually learn his moves and his tendencies, and so you end up learning how to beat him. And as a quarterback, you can't let a defense know that, hey, every time we play cover zero, he's going to throw a low percentage deep ball. Like every time we blitz him, he's going to take the ball. Protection doesn't matter. He's going to get real risky with the football, and he's going to try to take the home run throw over the top, right? Sometimes you got to take the more calculated, quicker decisions, and then when the timing's right and you know what they're going to do, you bang them for that deep throw. I mean, that as I'm reading this article about chess, I'm going, man, this is quarterback. This is all quarterback.
Well, right, Clint, a lot of people believe, and Clint Sterner in the show with you right here till 6 o'clock. A lot of people, Clint, believe football is all the talent, throwing the ball, throwing and being able to, because what do we hear out of the draft? Oh, man, Tua, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow, they can make every throw on the field. And that's a part of it, right? But quarterback play, every time I talk to people, it's about processing. About processing quickly and making a decision with processing and understanding your keys and what you should be doing and where people are going to be and what that means, where those people are going to be in terms of where they would be also with the defense. And that just sounds a lot like what you're describing with chess, is processing.
Man, it's unbelievable. Coming from an old quarterback in myself that's never played chess, I want to go play chess now because I feel like it.
I'll pass.
I want you to read this article, bro. I promise you, you will read the article and you'll walk away with going, I need to apply these things to my life. Like, I need to apply the lessons of chess, the quick thinking and being able to make decisions without doubting yourself or thinking about the consequences on the other end. Man, just go in clear, quick, confident, make that decision. Train yourself to do that so that you become better and better and better and better at doing it. And then you become unbelievably efficient. Check this one out right here, show. This is another. I got five topics here. This is the third one. Train. This was this coach, Seth Mikowski, this chess coach, talking specifically about Deshaun Watson. Train for career longevity. Watson has to get better at making the smartest, sharpest decision so that he won't need to rely on the Superman stuff. Mm. What have we talked about a million times, show? It's not, you're never going to take Deshaun Watson's Superman abilities away from him. What you have to do is get him to understand you can't rely so heavily on that super, your ability to make that Superman play so often. You've got to mentally play the game in a way that you don't have to constantly put your cape on to go score points. You got to play the game where you can make more calculated decisions to take your risks and take your shots, man. Short-term memory was 4. How about this one right here, show? I love this one. 5. Commit to the system and the process so you don't miss opportunities. Here's the example. If a wide receiver, we can put DeAndre Hopkins in there. If a wide receiver has been double-teamed the whole game, and then you as a quarterback, you just assume he's doubled midway through the fourth quarter and you end up missing an opportunity because he was manned up, right? So you have to commit to the system. No matter how many times you go up there and your number one target is double-teamed, you've got to go through your progressions. One's double-teamed, so I'm going to go to 2, 3, and 4. And you do that for 3 quarters, and in the fourth quarter, you slip up, you get tired. You don't go through that process. Now all of a sudden you got Hopkins one-on-one for a touchdown, and because they've lulled you to sleep, now you've missed your opportunity. The game of chess at any point in time, apparently I've never played, the game of chess at any point in time, if your opponent lulls you to sleep, he's just hoping you make that mistake and you don't stay committed to your system, you don't stay committed to your offense, and then he's going to bang you and beat you. And that's, man, that's playing quarterback, man. It's unbelievable. I got tired of reading the article. It was long. I got tired of reading the article because I was like, quit. Yep, that's Deshaun. That's Deshaun. It was unbelievable, man.
And I'm going to tell you this, Clint. We're talking and discussing that Deshaun Watson is talking with a chess coach and starting to see the parallels of how chess and understanding the same things that you think about and you go through a game of chess can be used in football, especially from the quarterback position. The thing that I love as I would say the number one fan in Deshaun's fan club myself, I love that he is understanding it ain't just about the physical that he's got to improve upon as he's going to take the next level. We all said a lot of the moves that have been made on the offseason is to see if Deshaun can go to the next level. And when you start to see people and great quarterbacks, and hell, it's not even just quarterbacks, Clint, great players, how much the mental game is a part of it. Peyton Manning not only is just the smartest guy to maybe ever play the position, but you know how much of the game was mental for him, how much he was able to make plays just prior to even stepping up and taking the snap. He knew what he could do because he focused so much on the mental game. Ray Lewis, man, that dude would watch so much film and would just talk. I've watched like mic'd up stuff where he's just talking about what's about to happen because he's just taken so much of the mental aspect of the game. It's such a big deal, and I think great players go up the next level when they start doing that.
Zero doubt about it. You hit the nail on the head, man. And Deshaun Watson gets it. The time I spent around Deshaun here in the Verizon Artist Lounge here for 30 minutes, it don't take long for you to realize this dude is a student of the game. His ego's hung at the door. He is going. Now, I don't know how high he's going to rise, show. I don't know how high his ceiling is, but I promise you he is going to strive to get there as long as he's got the opportunity in the league, man.
I tell you, man, I love to see him going to the next level because it doesn't look like Patrick Mahomes gives a damn about technique. So maybe this is the move where he could go and try, because he's got to do everything he can to catch that dude, because that dude is something else, the mental part of the game that's big and should be celebrated if you're a Texans fan, and hopefully that shows coming up this season. I'm tell you what, the big story of the day, Cam Newton has now found a home with the New England Patriots, and I'm telling you, they could be a real problem. And even a problem for a team like the Texans. We'll get into that coming up next. Clint Sterner, run the show, Hughley. Hey, Clint, man, I got to tell you real quick before we get into this, man. I got some Houston confidence here. I got some real Houston confidence since I done moved in.
Well, tell me about it.
Man, I didn't stop wearing undershirts since I done got to Houston, dog. I didn't start feeling real good about myself. I've stopped for the most part wearing undershirts. Get these button-up polos, and I just go in without the undershirt, man. I'm feeling real good.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's what happens. You come down here to Texas, you start peacocking around a little bit, baby.
I did, man. I'm feeling real good. I don't even need the undershirts now, because you know I sweat right through those puppies anyway.
But now I'm just sweating through regular. You were fighting an uphill battle with that.
Yeah, I'm just sweating through regular shirts now. But man, I'm feeling good, man. I found myself out on the beach, no undershirt on. I said, "Let's go."
Okay. What did Court think about it? Was Court okay with it? She good with the no undershirt action?
Nah, I ain't done it yet around
whoa, whoa,
her.
Whoa, whoa, okay, I think so. Usually, when you start stuttering like that, you're getting ready to lie. You're shaping your mouth.
No, I hadn't done it. I hadn't done it yet around her.
I got
you. But it's coming. I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it now, man. I don't know why, man.
Well, as long as you're feeling it, I mean, I'm sure she will as well.
That's not true. As long as I'm feeling it, she will.
Well,
I mean,
if you're owning it and you're not self-conscious about it, and you're just doing your thing, then usually she's going to dig it. She's going to get down with it. I mean, I don't know. I'm just guessing, but that's what I think.
No. I tried to own it yesterday in some family pictures. I wanted to put on some jeans. Nope, had those on for 5 minutes. Take them off. You got to match with the rest of us.
Oh, there you go. Would you throw on some khaki shorts?
Yeah, man. You know, I just out of spite, I didn't even look. Just grabbed the first pair of shorts and just ironed them, put them on. They matched. Yeah, I owned them jeans, and I owned
for
them
about five
jeans,
minutes.
And I owned them jeans right the hell off. anybody at home with a significant other knows about that. All right, Clint Sterner in the show with you. The big story of the NFL right now, and I'm a bit surprised about it, is Cam Newton landing with the Patriots. And Clint, I think they are a real problem of the AFC East. I think they're the class of the AFC East. I'll say this: give me the best coach, and Bill Belichick's the best coach in the division by a mile. And I believe that Cam Newton, if healthy, is better than – what the hell's that kid's name in Buffalo?
Josh Allen.
Yeah, I think he's better than Josh Allen. Tua's young, and he probably won't start the season with Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I like Sam Darnold, but I don't like that. I don't think that crew is going to roll together. I think Cam is the best quarterback in the division, and they have the best coach, whose specialty is defense and getting defense out of non-stars. So I love them in that division. And Clint, I think they're maybe a move or two away. Now, I don't know if they're out there, a move or two away, in terms of perimeter players, playmakers, where they could be a problem outside of the East.
Now
they
you're
could
on be, to something. Well, I don't know about the way you ended that, but your thought process, your thought is in the right spot.
I
Go
feel
ahead.
Like I ended it greatly. They could be a problem outside.
Man, get the hell out of here.
Say they just pull together a tight end and a deep threat. No, I'm not even saying great. Tight end or a deep threat. I'm saying they could be a team that you look at in the AFC and say, all right, they're going to be better than just maybe one playoff game and out. They could be a problem. That group, they go get a couple more weapons, they're a problem for Houston.
Well, if they get a couple of weapons, they're going to be more of a problem. There's zero doubt about it with whoever's quarterbacking. They're going to be more of a problem. I mean, I find it criminal what they did to the greatest of all time last year, not surrounding him with more talent at the receiver position. And so that greatest coach that you keep talking about, which I agree, great coach, but I can't believe he did what the hell he did last year to Tom Brady, to be completely honest with you. Now,
I don't know why he trusted Josh Gordon the way he did.
Well, that's a good point. Or AB. He gave him about $9
million.
You're
right. Forgot about that.
Yeah,
forgot
that one too. But I mean, you know, the good thing is, though, look, I mean, be completely honest with you, a quarterback's best friend is a great defense. And as I said earlier, I mean, that New England defense at pretty deep into the season, I don't remember exactly what week it was, but I remember.
All time.
Yeah, I mean, all time. Historical numbers that they were putting up until – I would say it was over halfway through the season when they were still dominant. They still ended up one of the top defenses in the league. But point is, man, if they play their cards right, and that great defense is on the New England Patriots can put that great defense on the field, then the quarterback is going to have a much better chance. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, they've lost two critical linebackers. They lost Van Oy, who was a really good pass rusher. And the outside linebacker who had left and went to Cleveland and came back, they lost him too. I can't believe I forgot his name as well. Probably should have had that written down. But they have lost, so they've taken steps back. But Stephon Gilmore is still there, and Bill Belichick is still there. So you know their defense will keep them in games. I'm wondering. Here's a couple things, because I want to get a couple things out in terms of weapons. As I said this, I think the Patriots are the class of the AFC East, but I think they're a couple of weapons away with Cam Newton from potentially being a bigger issue than I think the league thought they would be, even when they just signed Cam Newton. All right, they got Edelman. They've got the kid N'Keal Harry from Arizona State, the rookie last year. That got injured but showed some flashes. All right. With them changing, and we would think if they're going to be smart and they're serious about trying to win, they would change this offense to fit Cam. With them changing the offense to fit Cam, do they need as many weapons as they would have for Brady? What I mean is, because Cam can, if they're going to use Cam the way Cam's been used, he can make up for some things that maybe Brady couldn't without the talent. Do you think they need more talent, or as much type of talent they would need as if Brady was a quarterback?
They're one top-end receiver or tight end, like just one mismatch guy that's just that much better than everybody else. They're one of those away, because they've got Edelman. N'Keal Harry would be a good number two receiver. He would be number three, really, if they went out and found either a really, really dominant tight end or another outside, signed like an AB type of receiver, which they're not walking around out there. But the like I'm just saying, a dominant, a really good receiver like that, I don't care who the quarterback is. Again, that doesn't matter who the quarterback is. They are one piece away from having some things falling in place offensively, where they would have some pretty serious weapons and a lot of options at Josh McDaniels, their offensive coordinator's fingertips. Now, you insert Cam into the mix, and depending on how they mix things up, yes, he still needs he still needs that other receiver. He needs that guy that can beat one-on-one coverage, and then he needs the scheme to be one that is priority number one is to create one-on-one coverage for the outside receivers by running the quarterback and obviously using Edelman over the middle of the field, those kind of things. But, yeah, that show they're still with Cam Newton. It don't matter who the quarterback is. They got the greatest coach of all time. They're going to have a great defense. They need another weapon on the offense, and it would be criminal to put any other quarterback in there without another weapon.
And I'm glad you answered, because I'm wondering – that's why I was wondering what type of weapon. Like, because Cam is different. Like, speed guys – I've just looked around the league, and I thought, what kind of receivers – Could the Patriots make a move for? Now, Delanie Walker is still a tight end that is just out there as a free agent. I know he's 36, and he had a rough injury a couple years ago. I love
Delanie Walker.
I mean, Greg Olsen was someone that Cam loved and always depended on. Could he be that? And I wonder how much it would take for the Patriots to trade for a guy like Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen would be a great one. I mean, you know, I think it would even be somebody like a DeSean Jackson. He's not available, saying somebody like that, to where, man, you better keep your eye over there. And the minute that you don't, Cam could throw it over the top on you. You're going to be in trouble. And if you stay back, you keep two safeties high, then you're going to be susceptible to the run hitting you in the mouth over and over again. If they're willing to do that, and if Cam Newton can stay healthy, there's a lot of ifs around Cam Newton, but show there's no doubt that New England is not a threat, even if they're great on defense. When it comes to when they bump up against playoff caliber football teams, when it matters the most, they're not talented enough offensively to win 3 to 4 games in the playoffs right now. Even with Tom Brady, the greatest of all time last year, they got exposed late in the season and in the playoffs, and then with Cam Newton, it's going to be the same thing. With Jarrett Stidham, it's going to be criminal putting that young fella in there. He's not a runner. He's not an athletic quarterback, and then you're not going to give him any targets to throw to. So yeah,
you're just putting so much on Cam, and needing him to be a Superman, and that to me, week in and week out, isn't going to be the recipe for them to succeed. So with this move, that's the one thing. They showed me that they're more about trying to win this year with this move. Now the next one is, what are they going to do to add to them? And I think there are available pieces out there available. Like, I don't think the Bengals are just saying, no, we'll never trade A.J. Green. I wonder what that would cost. Like, and I think Keenan Allen, as someone I mentioned earlier, is getting older, and the Chargers are looking to start over. Like, they can make moves, and that to me could change the entire way they're looked at.
I think if they're serious
about winning,
right? That I think we just need to pump our brakes, though, bro. I know you and I've talked about this, but like, I mean, Cam Newton is on a. He is on a minimum deal with New. It's not like New England went out there and fought and won the bidding war for him. You know what I mean? Nobody else was interested, essentially. I mean, when it all boils down to it, they got him on a minimum deal. So I just question, again, how serious the New England Patriots are about this being their guy, about this being the way that they're just gonna turn the organization, gonna turn the offensive keys over to him. And I know that's not what you were saying, but if they're going to start moving forward and making decisions based off of Cam Newton and surrounding him with the necessary talent, man, that's pushing all of your chips to the middle of the table for one guy.
Well, see, this was my thing, Clint Sterner in the show with you till 6 o'clock. Clint, I was shocked just understanding what Bill's pushing 70 if he's not 70. And he's about winning. For 19 years, it's about winning. And with the way they were putting this group together, off their draft, everything offensively, it looked like they were just saying, we're not going to win this year. We're going to try to just, you know, build and play hard and see if we could get assets and picks to really make a run down the line. And that was surprising to me, because when you're Bill Belichick, you're his age, you've been winning like he does. what the hell sounds appealing about taking a year off? And now when I see them make this move, it to me says to me, well, they're a little bit more serious about winning than they were before making this move, and to understand they've been keeping in contact and having conversations for a while with them. Now it's like, now I just look at Bill Belichick ain't in this thing to just be okay. Bill wants to try to win, and I'd be really interested to see what the next moves are from the Patriots because of that.
Well, it'll definitely be interesting because when you look at it, I mean, I think we can talk about what you and I think about Cam Newton and all we want, but when it comes to the contract, when it comes to the value of Cam Newton in the NFL right now, it is obviously as low as it could possibly be. And New England just happened to be a contender if they're still that, right? I mean, you hate to, with Brady gone, I think you question that, but with Belichick still there, you still like feel like you got to hang on a little bit. But I want you to listen. This is Adam Schefter talking about Cam Newton and his options. I thought this was interesting.
And the truth of the matter is that Cam Newton did not have any other offers from any other teams. There was nobody that was calling him and lighting up his phone, trying to recruit him to a certain city. There was one other team that did have one conversation with him. It was very brief. It didn't go very far. But the Cleveland Browns did speak to Cam Newton at one point in time. But those talks never really went anywhere. They did with New England. And Cam winds up on a one-year contract with the Patriots, which makes all the sense in the world.
No, no, man. Why he had to say it so hard? He had no other suitors.
Well, I think it's very telling, man. I mean, all these guys coming out on social media talking about they got Cam Newton playing for minimum. No, man, that's the value right now in the NFL for Cam Newton. And everybody talking about, well, he's injured. Well, hell, New England found a way to feel pretty good about signing him. So how's the injury aspect of it and not being able to fly him in for a physical? How's that a big problem? New England found a way to do it. I think it's real sexy right now to go 2015 MVP Cam. Hell yeah, man, this guy can go. But in reality, I mean, man, it's been a minute. He's had two big time injuries, one on his foot, which is mobility is a big part of his, if not yep, just flat the ability to run. And then his shoulder, whatever it was with his shoulder, obviously was a problem before that. Man, I mean, this is a risky move, and nobody was going to make it for Cam Newton unless the risk was as minimal as possible. And I'll be damned if the New England Patriots weren't sexy enough for Cam Newton and his representation to say, yeah, we'll come in there for no more than $1 million. Now, you got to put some incentives on there because if I ball out, you got to pay me something. But $1 million is at risk for these guys. I mean, that's it. That's all New England risk. It's crazy for me to think they're going to then, with those being the circumstances, that then they're going to turn around and go build around Cam Newton. Hey, I'd love to see it. Show, I'm going to be honest with you. NFL would get a whole lot more interesting. The Texans schedule gets a whole lot more interesting, brother.
We'll get into that. Yeah, I'm interested as hell. At this, that was big.
Look, ain't nobody looks better in pads than Cam Newton, Chief. There ain't nobody more fun to watch than Cam Newton when he's getting up and Supermaning and doing all his different things when he's scoring touchdowns and getting first downs. And there's, to me as an old quarterback, there's nothing better than Cam Newton dropping the hammer on a safety or linebacker and the safety gets up adjusting his helmet. I mean, I love that stuff.
That's an interesting question. Text line 713-572-4610. Is there anybody else in the league that looks better in their pads than Cam Newton?
No. Can I answer that for the text line? If anybody
I feel like we're forgetting somebody.
Nope.
I feel like we're forgetting somebody.
Nope.
Who is it?
Nope. Did Kim Kardashian or Beyonce put on some pads for kick for somebody last year? Because I'm here to tell you there ain't one out there.
I believe it narrowed down. No, Cam looks fit and good in his pads. There's somebody else out there. I know it's weird. Antonio Brown can look real put together.
AB's about Bridget size, man. You crazy?
That's not true. Now you stop that. Josh Gordon, another person who has problems.
Get the hell out of
here. Can look strong in his pads. I'm trying to think of workout warriors that are just built like hell that look good in their pads. Landon Collins looks really good juiced up in pads.
I'm going to tell you, Saquon Barkley's one. He's a good one.
He's another one. Yes, he does. He does.
I'm going to tell you, big boy from Seattle out of Ole Miss. Both them receivers, AJ Brown and DJ Metcalf.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, them bad jokers. But Terrell Owens was good looking in pads, but I'm going to tell you.
Ray was, too.
Ain't nobody sitting at 6'5", 260 quarterbacking. Nah, it ain't happening. Mm-mm.
That number one.
Mm-mm. If they would just don't show him pregame, like show all
that's
his
what
work.
I'm saying. What do you think that conversation went to? I think that was the final nail. I think that's why it took so long. Cam had to finally agree to not be dressed like
it's coming big time now. He's going with the short suits and the crazy hair. Ain't no doubt. Ain't no doubt.
I think Bill said, "Man, come on, man. You can wear, man. You just can't dress like no park ranger. You can't come in dressed like a German woman."
If Bill's looking at this thing the way Ron Hughley is, hell, he can come in there wearing whatever he wants. Belichick will come in there wearing one of his short suits.
Nah, that ain't true. Bill wins 6 Super Bowls. You still got to adhere to it to what he wants to. All right, coming up, the stories you have to hear about, the big stories of the day, the big 3 at 3 coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.